Amen. You know, in this season, you must learn to sing like you have never sung. In this season, for in your song is a victory of the heavens over the earth. In your song is a rehearsal of all he has done already. In your song is a reminder of that which he speak and he has done. In your song is a release of angelic activity. In your song, therefore, is a shout that drowns out all the antics of the enemy. In your song is a melody that pleases the Father's heart. In your song is a testimony of the Holy One himself. In your song, the new creation is set forth. So learn to sing like you have never sung. Learn to give expression to the musical instruments within that can only be made by God. Learn to give expression to his omnipotence, his power in a psalm. Learn to encourage yourself and overcome all lies and deception of the enemy. Let the song of heaven that is in your heart find expression. Oh, but it won't come if you don't try. It won't manifest if you don't sing. It won't come to light if you don't open your mouth. So learn to open your mouth more often, for things will come out of you that will amaze your mind, that will stun your senses. Things, the Father's plans, the Father's love, the Father's grace, the Father's blessing will envelop you in everyday practice. You will see more than ever before a full conviction of his love in operation. You will see instructions. You will see depression leave. You will see sorrow give way. You will see the Father's goodness purely made manifest. So learn to sing this hour, for singing is part of your worship in him and to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you sing when you are praying? I hope you sing. I hope you don't think singing is a separate part of your fellowship. In that, okay, I've only sang for just 5 minutes now, so it's not time to pray. No, it's an essential part of your prayer. For when you start singing, you started praying already. It's a living fellowship. It's a living fellowship. For more often than not, the melody will guide your heart along the path it has for you for that day. So do not fret or be confused and say, I don't know what to pray. For that is what your mind says. Your spirit will bear witness when your mouth is open. And direction will come, yea, through a melody, yea, through a tongue, yes, through a song. It will comfort. Direction will be crystal clear, and you will have no doubt that you are in the Father, and the Father is in you. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. All right, so we're looking at greater works, and we started at an angle that I didn't plan we'll start from, but then we just trust the Spirit of God to keep leading and guiding us and directing us in this area, because we are to receive instruction from God's word so that we can be better and that we can walk in the reality. The greatest challenge of the faith, of being in the faith, of being a child of God, is knowledge. The believer doesn't need power. The believer doesn't need wisdom. The believer needs a knowledge, a revelation knowledge of who he is, what God has done, and what God is doing in him presently. That's what the believer needs. But ignorance will make him think he needs power. Ignorance will make him think he needs wisdom. Ignorance will even make him think he needs God to move in the situation. So, the running team, as far as prayer points are concerned, that's most prevalent. Of course, there are other prayer points. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1 speaks about Paul asking the Thessalonian church to pray for him. So pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Okay? And that we may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for it's not all men that have faith. Okay? Romans 16 verse 25, 15 verse 30, it gives another prayer point. And there are different prayer points there, but what is the most prevalent prayer point that we have in the epistles is a prayer that the believer will come to know. To know. And that should call our attention to the fact that knowledge, revelation knowledge, plays a vital role in the expression of the Christian faith. Revelation knowledge plays a vital role in the expression of the Christian faith. What you don't know, you can't fully express. I didn't say you can't express. You cannot fully express. It means it takes knowledge for you to fully express that which already is yours. The reason why sometimes, due to the prompting of the Spirit, some of us flow in the things of the Spirit sometimes, occasionally, and then we allow the experience, because of our lack of knowledge, to tell us that God was excited that day, or God was visiting me that day. It's because we don't have knowledge. The revelation of God's word makes us understand that that which we occasionally walk in is something that is available for us all of the time. Hallelujah. I've met individuals who they believe that speaking in tongues is something that God initiates. So when they are praying and the prayer gets to a point, they blurt out a few words in tongues. And for that day, it's like something has happened. God moved today. And it's because they blurted out a few words. Now, what is the problem? Their experience is dictating what God is doing to them instead of allowing God's word to dictate. Which is, they are not aware of the fact that what happened then was God's way of helping them continuing what has always been available. Which means they prayed enough to a point where they were out of the senses, and then their spirit wanted to find expression, but they went back to the senses. Why? Because the senses require knowledge to yield to the spirit. Let me put it this way. Your spirit will not be showcased without knowledge in your mind. Your spirit, which is the man in Christ, will not be showcased to the world, will not be showcased to you without revelation of God's word. It won't be. You cannot determine what you are capable of doing by your experiences. Your experiences can lie and deceive you. You cannot determine what you are capable of doing by the challenges. You can only determine what you are capable of doing by the testimony of Christ himself. That's important. So, what? Because sometimes some of us really wonder, why do we spend so much time praying for revelation knowledge? It's because everything springs from that. Somebody has done all it takes, not just to give you victory, to give you mastery over every situation. In other words, there will never arise a situation that a believer does not have mastery over. But there are situations a believer does not exercise mastery over. But there is no such thing as a, because whatever situation a believer does not have mastery over, that situation is bigger than God. Think about it. It's bigger than God. So, let me put it this way. You faced a situation. I faced a situation. The situation is the same. The magnitude of it is the same. But our view of it is not the same. What is the difference? What I know may be different from what you know. And because it's different, we have the same inheritance. We are both sons. We have the same power at our beck and call. But my knowledge will make me see the challenge in a different light than you have. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3. I know we're looking at greater works, but we're starting from the epistles and then we go back to the Gospel of John. Ephesians 3. Let's look at the Apostle Paul's prayer in verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you want to know for which cause, realize that Paul started the chapter by speaking about the fact that there is a dispensation that was committed to him to make known the mystery of Christ to his generation. Okay, verse 10 says, "To the intent or the purpose that, so that to all principalities and powers might be known the manifold wisdom of the of God by the church." So through the church, God wants to display. Because whatever I want to display is in the church. So Paul is now saying, for this reason or for this cause, I bow my knees. I bow my knees is a figurative way of saying, I submit to the will of the Lord. Okay? I bow my knees doesn't necessarily mean you actually physically bow. I bow my knees and I submit to the will of God. What is the will of God? That this revelation, this grace, this understanding may come to you. That's God's will. So let's look at verse 14 again. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." Listen, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, of whom the whole family and in heaven and earth is named. Okay, the family of believers in heaven and earth, we take our name from the Father. We take our bearing from the Father. He is our source. is the head of this household. So see what it says next. It says that he would grant you. Now again, look at the language. That he will grant you doesn't mean he's pleading for God to do it. That he will grant you, the emphasis is on receivership. How do you know it's on receivership? Look at the way he faces. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. First question. The riches of God's glory, are they in heaven or they are in you? Are they in heaven or they are in you? So notice the prayer. He's praying for God to do something about what you already have, what's already present in you. Think about it. So is a focus on God or on the person receiving? I want you to be like that. Is a focus on God or on the person receiving? See it again. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. According means the yardstick for this prayer is not you. The yardstick is in line with what he has done, which the Bible now calls the riches of his glory, the wealth of his goodness. Do you understand? That's what he's talking about. He says he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with what? Might. That also means endued with might by his spirit. Where? In your inner man. We said that inner man is a reference to your heart or to your soul. Okay? It's not talking about your spirit. It's not talking about your spirit. It's talking about your soul. So look at the next thing. It says, so that, or to know that Christ may dwell where? In your hearts by faith. Did you see that? Follow the prayer closely. That Christ may dwell where? In your hearts by faith. What's the first thing he said? That you will be strengthened and endued with might by God's spirit in your inner man. That might is what? Miracle working power. Okay? Dunamis. Miracle working ability in your inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, which is a living consciousness of who you are, should be the same way in your soul. Let me put it this way. Remember, the focal point of Paul's prayers, mostly for the believer, is that the believer may come to understand or to know. So he's praying here for revelation. He's asking that the same working, the same power, the same ability that made you a new creation, which is a present tense fact in your spirit, should become a present tense reality in your soul. That's what he's praying. That means that there should be a supernatural consciousness of that power. Let me put it this way. You remember that, or you realize that the times when you have been conscious, listen carefully, of God's love for you, of God's power in you, have you noticed you got more results? How many of you know? How many of you, there were times when you prayed and there was more confidence than other times? Let me see. Okay. Do you notice that someone, when you were more confident, you seem to get more results? Yes or no? Now, so who is changing, you or God? Who is changing, you or God? So who did the confidence help? Did he help God perform more? He helped you receive more. So notice that the state of your heart has a lot to do with what is expressed through you. That's what he's saying. So the state of your heart, where there's usually variation, is a part that needs to be affected. Hallelujah. That needs to be affected. Listen carefully. Some people see a dream, they wake up afraid. Some see the same dream and they laugh. Some, the dream can't even come at all. And they all belong to the same father. Think about it. Some see the dream, they give interpretations. All my enemies are after me. Some see the same dream and can't imagine any enemy coming close to where they are. Some, their conscience is such that even shade such dream for anyone coming, because their conscience is too full of Christ. They are all believers. They are believers, which is explains why we have different experiences. You slept, you saw a snake chasing your dream, and you believe they sent it from the village. We know what you have been feeding on. You know what you have been feeding on. Somebody else sees it, does not even remember that he had a dream. His name is that he's not praying any prayer, just keeps fellowship with God. That it is not something to even bother about. Another person, such dreams can't even come. And they are all of the same father. And they all have the same inheritance in Christ. So Paul's prayer is that he will grant you to be strengthened or endued with might, which is miracle working ability, by spirit in your inner man, that Christ believing Christ in all his glory, may dwell in your consciousness by faith. What is the outcome? So that you, being rooted and what? Grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is what? The breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Now, to have an intimate knowledge of the love of Christ, which passes mere sense knowledge, that you might, or in order that you'll be filled. If I tell you the last part, what it says is on traditions, you may be afraid. To be filled there means to be furnished, to be supplied. The last part, that word with all the fullness, means with all the contents of God. You know what the contents of God are? God's constitution. That's what it says. With all the contents of God. And it's attaching it to knowledge of God's love. Remember we said that love is not an emotion. We defined what that love is. How many of you remember that we looked at that last week? No. Okay? The love is the summary of all God did in Christ to make you a son. That's what the Bible calls the love of God. Okay? That's what it calls. When you hear scriptures that says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. True is the avenue by which we became more than conquerors. So through him that loved didn't mean he kissed us. That was in love. Through him is referring to what he did to make being more than a conqueror possible. What did he do? He paid the price on the cross. Not only that, he went to Hades, the abode of the dead. He defeated the enemy, paid the price for our sin. He rose on the third day. He didn't just rise, he ascended for our sakes. Hallelujah. So Romans 4:25 says that he was delivered for our what? Transgressions. And he was what? Raised for our justification. Chapter 5 verse 1 now says, therefore, being justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in verse 25 of chapter 4. Therefore, it's wrong in English language to use therefore when it's not there, when there's no therefore. Okay, you can't just say therefore. Therefore means there's a preceding thought. What's the preceding thought? Who was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. So he's telling you that both the delivering and the raising is for who? For us. Think about it. He was crucified for you. He was buried for you. He was judged for you. He was raised for you. Then he chose to ascend for you. He sat for you. So everything is about you. Hallelujah. Everything is about you. So who was delivered for our transgression? He was raised again for our justification. That means that his rising or his resurrection should point your attention to the fact that he is resurrected to prove that all your transgressions have been forever paid for. If the resurrection, if the death was once, the burial was once, resurrection was once, ascension was once, sitting was once, payment also was once. That's the principle. So he's showing himself to you is to let you know that I am proof that sins will never be counted against you because I paid for it. So when he says we are more than conquerors, means that physically we were not there, spiritually in him we were there. So be more than conqueror means that you are partaking of a victory that you didn't earn, but was given to you through his love. Let me say that again. More than conquerors is a reference to your positional enjoyment or what he did on your behalf and said you did it. You know, it's a song that we sing that, and what he did, he said that I did. That he died and rose, and so did I. I am who what? He says I am. Now, again, your natural thinking, you are, if you look at your natural way of reasoning, you are saying, but I didn't do any of those things. But he said you did. When you do it, and when you believed in him, when you believed in him, you were identified with him. He took your place. Just as you take his place here also. So when he says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice his past tense. Through him that loved us. Love means what he did on the cross and when he rose to make you a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've said it before. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 5. Hebrews 1:5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten son, he said, and let all the angels of God what? Worship him. Verse 8. 8. But unto the son, he said, thy throne, O God, is what? A scepter of what? Righteousness is the scepter of your... Now, he's quoting prophecies that went before in Christ. So he's telling you, according to Psalm 2, which David said, that when Jesus rose from the dead, this is what God said, thou art my son. Okay? That is how the writer of Hebrews puts it. The message of the epistles are not conflicting. They are talking about different aspects of the same thing. So when Jesus rose as our representative, as the firstborn, what does firstborn mean? Prototype. So since he rose, what did God say to the man that rose from the dead? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. What does that mean? This day does all my inheritance belong to thee. This day does all my power and my wealth and my strength belong to thee. Thou art my son. That's what it means. Okay? So, but we now know from Ephesians, from Colossians, that when God said, thou art my son, he said that phrase to more than one person. He said it to everyone who rose with him. The question, did you rise with him? Okay, so, since you rose with him, and this is who you are, this is where you are, but the expression of this life, this position, doesn't come by wishing. It comes by knowledge. So Paul is praying in Ephesians 3. Does that make any sense to you? Okay, so because when you say the word love, you have to understand that we're not talking, because stop, you know, don't think in natural. Don't think of this humanistic kind of love, you know, that gets offended, that gets, no. The love is another way of talking about what, that's why love is the revelation of what Christ has done. That's what love is. Love is the revelation. We have known and believed the love that God has towards us. For God is love, and he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in what? In love. Or dwelleth in the reality of what God has done. That's 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed. So it's a revelation. Say the love of God in my heart is a revelation of what God has done for me in Christ. Hallelujah. So when he says that, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, or mere sensual knowledge, that you might be filled, furnished, imbued, infused with all the contents of God. Now unto him that is able to do, it's a progressive thing, exceeding abundantly above. He just told you now that revelation of that love will fill you with all the contents of God. And when he says contents of God, he's still referring to what he said in verse 14. When he speaks about the riches of his, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with what might. That's what he's talking about. So he's talking about the contents. But where are you filled now? In your soul. You can't feel a believer's, listen carefully, you can't feel a believer's spirit with the spirit. That's how he became a believer in the first place, because he's full of the spirit. Say, I'm full of the spirit. So when the Bible says, keep being filled, he's talking about what happens in your soul. Let your soul come under the influence of what is in your spirit. That's what it means to be filled with spirit. When I say believe filled with spirit, is the frigority of saying, let your soul come under the influence of what is in your spirit. Your spirit man can't be full. It's already filled. Say, God lives in me now. I can't get your spirit full of God. Your spirit is full of God. That's how you were born again in the first place. When we use the word being filled with the spirit, we're referring to what happens in your soul. That means your soul has a consciousness of the realities that are in your spirit. That's what it means. And that's what produces change in men. As we go through different epistles, they are saying the same thing. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. That you may what? Prove. What is the what? Good, acceptable, and what? Perfect will. And we have interpreted this as there's a good will, there's acceptable, there's perfect. No. It's a description of the will of God. It is good before God. It's acceptable to him and it's perfect. He's not talking about three different wills. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Is that you are in God's, this will of God is just good. This one is, spanning him is acceptable. No. It's a description of the will of God. God's will for you is good. It's what is acceptable to him and it's what's what perfect to him. So when he says, that you may prove. To prove means to express. You have proven means you have tested, you have exercised yourself in it, and you have discovered what the will of God is in every single situation, while your mind is renewed. So it means the mind plays a role in expressing your status and your nature. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so we understand what Paul is praying. It says, now unto him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly, verse 20, above all you can what? Ask or think, according to the power that worketh. That what? Worketh. So the working part is what we often express in the place of prayer. Our thinking, our asking is affected by revelation. Then we work some things out in the place of prayer. That's not something God does, that's something we do. That means automatically, therefore, that the degree to which you walk it is the degree to which you have experience or manifestations. That's what it means. That is what it means. We'll talk something on prayer shortly. Look at John chapter 14 again. John chapter 14, which is supposed to be our text. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, is that believing on him, is ultimate ministry on after he rose from the dead? Is that in his earthly ministry or after he rose from the dead? How was Jesus described in his earthly ministry? Jesus the what? How was he described? How was he referred to? Jesus the one? Anointed one. After resurrection, how was he referred to? Jesus the one? Exalted one. Is that clear? Do we remember that now? Okay, so we know the status is not the same. So he is doing what you call faith teaching. Faith teaching means he is teaching them about something that will come to pass after he goes to prepare a place for them. So he now says, see verse 12 again. Very, verily, when the Jewish man says verily, you need to pay attention. When he says very, verily, you need to be seriously attentive. Okay? So he says, very, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall the one do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I will go unto my Father. Now, take a step back. Remember, when Jesus is speaking, how do you discover what he's saying? Look at the way he said it. I go to my Father. He has said this about three different times. In verse 2, see what it says in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So, we see, I go to prepare a place for you. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. So, is it safe to say Jesus is going in order to come? Does that make sense? He is going in order to come. Okay? Now, pay attention carefully now. He is going in order to come. I will come again. I will come again. That's talking about the word resurrection. Which is after he has ascended, I will come again. I will come again here is not a physical coming. I needed to get this. Let me read that again. So you're going to visit verse 3 again. Look at verse 3 again. In my Father's house. What's the word for house again? Household. Okay? There are many. What does mansions mean? Dwelling places. Okay? There are many dwelling places. If you were not so, I would have told you, I go to one, prepare a place or to make room for you. Okay? So, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place, what does it mean to prepare a place? To make room. If I go and make room, how will you make room, Jesus? I will need to die. I will be buried. I will need to rise. What does it mean to die? I will need to pay the price for your cleansing, for your forgiveness. Isn't it? So, and I will rise to prove that you are forgiven. But I will need to be exalted. Listen carefully. To make you a new creation. Have I jumped? Are you following? Have I jumped or you are following? Are you following? Remember what we saw. Okay. Put your hand and look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 17. You there? Jesus said unto her, this is talking about Mary who met Jesus near his sepulchre. Say, touch me not, or don't hold on to me. I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my friend and I say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Do you see that? I am not yet what? Ascended. So this is John's account. John is the only one of the four Gospels who gives us the account of Jesus ascending. The other gospels don't tell us. But if we compare what he said and with what Luke said, after he ascended, when he came back, he appeared to disciples in Luke 24 and told them, "Unto me and see, flesh and bone." A spirit does not have flesh and bone like see me have. Why was he saying, "Undo me"? He just told me, "Don't undo me." Why was not saying, "Undo me"? I've come back. If you are with me, let me see that. Maybe we should look at that verse so that you know it's in the Bible. I didn't manufacture it. Luke 24. Someone says, "Pastor, why are this necessary?" So that you can defend your faith. You can know what you have believed. Your experience in Christ is very factual. It's not calling the vice fables. It's not make believe. It is more real than anything in existence. These are facts. Luke 24. Okay. Verse 36. Luke 24:36. Are you there? It says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." Can you imagine? Now, these are people who are supposed to believe. These are Jesus' disciples. They are supposed to believe that he rise. Do you see their reaction? Do you see unbelief? You see, Jesus is merciful. Yes, sir. Now, remember in the previous verses, he had rebuked two of them on the road to Damascus. We had been speaking to who said that, and Jesus was asking them like he was a stranger. They didn't know what they were talking to him. Say, "What are you discussing?" He said, "Are you near in this place?" They're talking to Jesus. So you have just come. You don't know that they just crucified a man, and Jesus, a mighty prophet. Mighty in words and deed. So in their own eyes, he was still a prophet. Can you imagine? Disciples. So he rebuked them. He says, "Oh, fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Ought not Christ to have suffered this and enter?" So he had rebuked. Now, these two now went to the disciples and told them their experience while they were talking. Guess who showed up? Do you know, please, by the way, if you're discussing Jesus anywhere, do you know he's present? I don't know if you have noticed. If you spend any time at all discussing Jesus with a friend of yours, what you have, do you notice there's a boldness and a strengthening that starts coming? Is alive everywhere. I'm telling you what I know. You just be suddenly edified. You know, he's a stranger's came from somewhere just because you start speaking about him, because everything about him is life-giving. Just try what I said. You see, you are at your weakest. A friend starts talking to you about him, life will start welling up and overshadow every form of disappointment or discouragement in your heart. It will. It happens all the time. Now, see what he says now to them. Verse 38, "And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself." Okay? "Undo me and see, for a spirit hath not what? Flesh and bones, as you see me have." When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, they were too overjoyed. I wondered. He said unto them, "Have you here any meat?" You know, it would be a very strange spirit who is eating fish. What kind of spirit is that? It's not the wood spirit that doggy's cow on the road. It's only you have not seen not the wood spirit drinking pure water. It's only in Nigeria those kind of things happen. Okay, who is dodging that? I didn't know that cow used to eat spirit, but so you know what he was doing? It was satisfying their senses. Okay, bring fish. At least you can't doubt that one. Do you know that when Peter was testifying, he said he didn't appear to everyone. He appeared to a few of us who are his witnesses who ate with him. So it was deliberate on Jesus' part. It wasn't a matter of hunger. It was like, at least you cannot say, "Sit down here, let's eat." You will remember, Peter said in Cornelius' house, unto witnesses he appeared, people like us, who also ate with him. It was proving a point. I'm not spirit. I'm flesh and bone. He didn't see flesh and blood. I'm flesh and bone. Because the resurrected body doesn't require blood to function. Hallelujah. It doesn't require blood to function. John chapter 14 again. Verse 17. Glory, 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 glory. Verse 16. I will pray the Father, he shall give you one another comforter that he may abide with you. How long? How long? Now listen carefully. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. He will abide with you forever. Is a pointer to the nature you will have received when I'm praying to the Father. Let me explain that again. He will abide with you forever. It's not just a reference to the kind of comfort that is coming. It's a reference to the nature you will have. Do you notice that the Bible uses a phrase for Jesus in Hebrews chapter 7? Look at Hebrews 7. We're still going towards greater works, and we have not been able to focus on greater works. But we've been focusing on another aspect that has to do with greater works. Hebrews 7, 23, from 23. See, and there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Next verse. But this man, because it continues, which is the word ever. Did you see that? What's another word forever? Forever. Good. He has one, an unchangeable. Now, notice. John says, as he, so are we. So his own priesthood, which was given to him at the resurrection, he says is unchangeable. What he was given is unchangeable. He can't change, which is, that status will be with him forever. See the next thing he says. Wherefore is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives. To make what? Intercession. If you came during the series that we're looking at past resurrection, to make intercession doesn't mean he's living to pray for you. How many of you have already gotten that one now? Okay, so Jesus is not there praying for you. To make intercession means that based on what he has done, he is representing all that he has done on your behalf. That's intercession. There is prayer of intercession. There's principle of intercession. There's prayer of faith. There's principle of faith. So it's not every time I speak of faith, I'm talking about prayer. Yes or no? It's not every time I speak about supplication, I'm mentioning prayer of supplication. Isn't it? You know, to supplicate before you means to beg you and to appeal to you. It doesn't mean I'm praying to you. Yes or no? But when I use prayer, prayer is an aspect. So when you see the word intercession, he is not saying Jesus is praying. What God can pray? Who will he pray to? Somebody says he's a man, we know. But he has been restored back to his Godhead. So why did he become a man? So he can bring him to God. That's why he became a man. He became a man to be like you. He went back to being God so that you can be like him. Do you see the journey? That's where the journey is. So when Moses says, as he is, he said that all the authority he has now, the same way demons can't do anything around him, they can't do anything around you, status-wise. So that you understand that, you know, there are some things that naturally can't come near Jesus' mind or thoughts. He now transfers that to you in the epistles based on what he has done. He says to you things like, do you know there is therefore now? Now means now that you are a new creation, there is no condemnation that can be mentioned near you because of what has been done concerning you. So there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. In Christ means to bring an accusation of condemnation successfully is to bring one against Christ. Because you and Christ are not different. Remember what they said? Verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go. So we're exploring is, what does I go? What does it mean? Because if you understand I go, what it means, you will know what greater works are. You know why he expresses to express more authority, more power? Do you know men stand in crusades now, and after a single message, being imbued by the Spirit, the same thing that Christ would have done if he was physically here, you see hundreds of thousands of people get saved. Without men going to the congregation, you see them giving out a word of knowledge here, word of wisdom, and you see crippled walking. Greater works. Hallelujah. He is living in me now. Hallelujah. And he's doing his works in me and through me now. That is, through my preaching, men are receiving a life that can't be altered. I don't know if you know the import of that. Men are receiving life that can't be altered again, not tampered with again. So he's able to say, because he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And if we go on, you see that he lives by the power of an endless life. So look at that, John chapter 14 again. John 14. Woo, Josh. John 14, 17. 16 again. I will pray the Father, he shall give you. When will he pray the Father? When he goes to the Father. What does it mean to go to the Father? He ascended, isn't it? So we saw in John chapter 20, when he told me, don't touch me, I'm yet to ascend. When he did come back physically, when he appeared to the disciples, yes or no? Good. But now, let's go back to verse 3 again. Before we go back to this one. Verse 3 again. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, what? Unto myself. So when he came back in Luke 24 that we saw, to receive unto myself means you are now new creations. To receive unto myself, let me put it this way. He said, he will ascend. What does the ascension mean? He will sit at the Father's right hand. Now, listen. So that you will be sure it's not a chair. When he came back in 24 and he spoke to them and he said, handle me and see. Where was he with them? Spiritually, where was he? The Father's right hand. So the Father's right hand is a position of authority. Do you understand? That means as he's with them, he's with them at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. So it's a spiritual reality, not a physical one. Because when he was talking to them, he was at Father's right hand. It is at the Father's right hand that he will pray and send you another comforter. It's at the Father's right hand that he gives men the Spirit. Because he now has the authority to give men the Spirit. Do you understand that? So when he was with them, all those things were possible because he was already at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. If you understand everything I just said now, the implication is this. There were two ascensions. Do you agree? Do you agree? Do you agree? Do you agree? You don't agree. So I say, no. Well, there were two ascensions. There was the official ascension that made me sit at the Father's right hand. There was a second one in front of everybody. So the first one had one witness. Who was the witness? Mary. The second one, how many people? Several people. Do you understand that? Now, so because how do we know he must have gone to the Father's right hand the first time? Very simple. Look at what he said when he came back. When he rose from the dead is what Matthew told us. When he rose from the dead is what Luke told us. But John now told us that he actually went. That what Luke is recording 24 is when he now had come back. Because when he came back, he now said, handle me and see. But when Mary saw him, he said, don't handle me. Do you see the difference? So how do we know that he must have had all the authority, or he must have gone to the Father's right hand? The Father's right hand means all authority. Look at what he said through Matthew. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. All power in what? Is given unto me where? In heaven and earth. Next verse. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them how? In the name of the Father. You know this is not in the scriptures. You know, he didn't say in the name of the Father, the Son. You won't find it any other place. Just here once. Only Matthew said it. And we eventually know from translators that Matthew didn't even say it. It was translator that said it. I hope you understand that. Okay. So what was he saying there? Go ye therefore. Why are you going there for? All power and authority. Jesus, when you get all power and authority, when I go to the Father's right hand. What is Father's right hand? All the authority the Father has. So if you want to see what he said there, what does he mean? Because when he said it, he said, all power and authority is given unto me. The only clue we have from Matthew that all authority and power is given unto me means all authority and power is given unto the believer is that Jesus said, go ye therefore. Because think about it. If you come and meet me, Matthews, all power and authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. Matthew is telling me, Pastor, ye go. Since you are the one who has all power and authority. Because that place where I should go, what they are worshipping there is strong. We say, go ye therefore. But you said all power. Why was he able to tell them, go ye therefore? Because it was actually saying, I received it on your behalf. Why should you be able to go? Because I have received it. What does I have received it means is as good as you received it. Because we are one now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So John 14:17 now. What does getting the Spirit mean? So even verse 16 to make sense. Sorry. So I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that I may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of what? Reality. Say the Spirit of reality. So notice he will pray the Father that and to give you another comforter. That comforter may abide with you forever. We've discussed this over time also. Everything Jesus says here is a faith lesson, is important. Because when he said that he may give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, it is not the giving of the Spirit that was special. It was the manner in which the Spirit was given that is special. Because the Spirit had never been given, number one, to abide in an individual, and he had never been given to be with people forever. Don't forget that. Should I say that again? It was not the giving of the Spirit that was special, because that the Old Testament, the Spirit used to come upon Samson. David was anointed with the Spirit. Moses was anointed with the Spirit. There were 70 elders anointed with the Spirit. Elijah was anointed with the Spirit. So when he says, I will pray the Father, it's like I will request of the Father. To request, therefore, means I will have the right, the standing and the status to actually receive of the Father so that you can have the Spirit. What does it mean for you to have the Spirit? It's not like they had it in the old. Now it won't be with you, it will be in you. Not only that, it will be forever. Now, if God tells you, he gives you something forever, brothers and sisters, it is forever. And he says, I have loved with an everlasting love. He has loved you with an everlasting love. When he says things like that, he is telling you it is independent of your actions. It is independent of your response. It is my own position. It's my decision, it's my position. I'm not counting the possibility or the risk of you not responding. I won't change. Hallelujah. Romans 5 says that, for God commends love towards us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Now that is love. Because there are many of the ungodly who are yet to respond. And he has not withdrawn the love. Like you would do. You know? I saw a joke. I think I shared one or two people. Every time I read, I always laugh. The guy's face. You know, Nigerians are very creative. When I go to Facebook, I've noticed that Nigerians are very, we need to market our skills. In the hardest situations, you know, when there was no fuel. Did you see the jokes that Nigerians created? I saw a guy on Facebook. They showed the picture of him. He slept face down. His two hands were on his jerry can and jerry top of fuel. They showed another one. As was carrying the jerry can to steal it, two people were waiting by the side with cutlass in their hands for him to just turn back so they can't see them. Nigerians make joke. What is it? It's supposed to be a terrible situation. You're making joke of it. Any terrible situation, I'm doing. Nigerians are creative. So it says, I will pray the Father means it is when he arrives at the Father's right hand, isn't it? Which is, we also call Jesus' exaltation. What will happen when he gets there? He will give you another comforter. That comforter may abide with you how long? Forever. It says, even the Spirit of truth. Don't miss this part. The Spirit of truth. The word truth is word reality. In Greek, it's called aletheia. Aletheia means reality. Reality means as things really are. Not as things, not the way they appear. So there is what you call the way things are now. The way things are now, brothers, sisters, you need to know how good you look in Christ. Oh my God. You'll be dancing every day. If you know how beautiful you look, how lovely you look, how much light and splendor and glory is in your spirit, you will know why God is able to boast about you. But this flesh covers it like a veil. So God is now not counting on your senses, he's counting on his word to convey that same information to your mind. Hallelujah. That's what we call renewing of the mind, so that you will see as he sees. What is he seeing when he looks at you, that you will see it? That's what revelation language means, that you are seeing what God sees when he looks at you. You know, when we are looking at you now, we are seeing your nose and your ear and your, and all the rest. Okay. But when we see you In spirit means as you really are. Do you know that means that the physical structure you have now is not real you? It's where you appear on the outside. You may look good, you may not look good. So in Christ now, which is now the standard, he's the only one responsible for your physical outlook. Your father or parents are, but he's responsible for your spiritual outlook, and he did a perfect job. Hallelujah. So when you're praying, that is what he now wants you to see. He wants you to now know, this is why angels serve you. Because your glory is, I mean, your splendor of your status, of your position, is greater than theirs, and they know and they can see it. See, now speak like it, act like it, live like it. Hallelujah. Speak like, act like it, live like it. He wants you to see what he sees when he looks at you. So he says, he may abide with forever in the spirit of reality, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But do you know him? For he dwelleth with. So what does it mean that you know him? He was operating through Jesus. He was tabernacled in Jesus. So through Jesus, he was with them. And he had been with them for 3.5 years. They had Jesus' words. So they had the spirit through Jesus. So he was with them. In essence, but he will not be where? In you. You know what it means for the spirit to be in? If the spirit does all that Jesus did, and that spirit will not be in you. Verse 12 of chapter 14 now makes sense. Very clearly I say unto you, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than this shall he do, because I go to the Father. So as we go on, we start now looking what those greater works are. Why we should expect? Because if you go through the scripture systematically, you have proof of why you can do greater works. You have proof of why you can expect the miraculous. You have written proof that should be clear even to your mind and your senses. Next verse, please. So that we can run up. Back to that verse 18. Verse 18. I will not leave you what? Comfort means I will not leave you as orphans without a father, without help. I will not leave you helpless. I will what? Come to you. How will he come? Physically? Physically? No. How will he come? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Remember when he started up. If I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. To receive you unto myself, once you miss what he's saying, your mind will be going to rapture. He wants to come and receive me to himself. No. To receive me to himself means that I will come to ensure you occupy where I occupy. So that where I am, hallelujah, in majesty, in splendor, in authority is exactly where you will also what be spiritually. So you'll be physically on the earth, but spiritually you'll be seated with me, which means spiritually your authority will be very, very much alive. Glory to God. Now, even from your look now, you see why we need to teach this over and over and over and over again for it to sing. We have to teach it and say it in different ways. Because Jesus tried to say these things for 40 days. That's Jesus. You know, my teaching grace now is stronger than that of Jesus. Now, Jesus did 40 days seminar. Teaching this thing that we are teaching. So I think it's okay if I spend 3 years. Multiply 40 days. If I spend 3 years teaching it, I am a genius. I mean, by human standards, I'm a genius. Because if I spend forever, I think I'm justified. For his own 40 days. I mean, I'm not done. Forever is still okay. See, we all meet Jesus. I should not be teaching this because, the master himself spent 40 days. And to show that human beings are naturally dull, they didn't all get it. Peter was still calling Gentiles unclean. They were still going to the temple. What does that tell you? Even after 40 days seminar, you need prayer and meditation to get it. So verse 19. Yet a little while the word seeth me no more, but you what? You see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you and I. So Christ in me, the hope of. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of greater works. Christ in me, the hope of miracles. Christ in me, the expectation of the supernatural. Christ in me, all the promises made manifest. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's what it means. So I'm going to come. It's all to do one thing, that Christ should be in me, I should be in him. And that means the Father also is where? In me. Glory. Say, the Father is in me. Therefore, I am the Father manifest. Hallelujah. I am the Father manifest. So when you're praying, we pray with that consciousness. Now, why are we so bold in the place of prayer? When it comes to, because when we are applying this principle to prayer, we're going to pray in the spirit now. Because some of you are, I was praying in spirit. Pastor, do you have prayer point? If you listen to everything that was taught, you will know you don't need prayer points. You just pray. Whereas in praying, you say, oh, prayer point is what to pray about. You are fashioning out 2019. The things he wants you to do, the people he wants you to meet, the assignment he has planned for you for the fashion of time, you are saying it first, you are releasing it, you are releasing angelic assignments concerning what he has in mind for you. I mean, in place of prayer, in the night vision, Jesus appeared to Paul when he was at Corinth. This is a man that has been persecuted everywhere he goes. And when in that place of prayer, Jesus told him, stay here. I have much people in this place. Acts 18. So Paul stayed there the space of 1 year and 6 months. Why do you think he stayed? By revelation. Jesus told him, I want you to stay here. Why? If Paul listened to his senses, he will run from the place. So Paul didn't just stay, you know, just like, let me, I just feel like. It wasn't feeling. It was a revelation. And that's what praying the Spirit does. It keeps you abreast of God's plans and purposes. When Jesus appeared to Ananias, look at what Jesus told him. Go to a street called Straight and inquire in the house for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he has seen in a vision. Jesus telling Ananias that Paul has got revelation of you coming to pray for him, so you have to go and pray for him. That means, in line with God's plans and purpose, was that that man will come and lay hands on Paul. Paul's eyes will open, and Paul will be full of the Spirit, and the things Paul will need to do in ministry will be communicated. How? In the place of prayer. So our praying is an expression of the life of Christ within us. Our praying is not beggarly. Oh, Father, do. Oh, Father, move. Oh, Father, do. Do, 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 do. Now, 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 now. Do, do, do. I mean, I'm not tired. I don't understand. Why you don't get bored? There's nothing beggarly about you. You are one with him. Hallelujah. You express divinity on the earth. Hallelujah. Say, there's so much power in me. It has to find expression. I pray out the power of God. I pray out the will of God. I pray out places to go, people to meet, associations to tend to. Hallelujah. Lives to change. Businesses that will prosper. I pray out the blood. Stand to your feet. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And no grunge sef rosta kala gashte. Lesusho brasto akala kashte. Lesuzon drosta vraka tali gishte. Not once while laka. Lesubra kashte brokostaki. Ese brako. I'm fully supplied. I'm fully helped. I'm greatly helped. I'm greatly assisted. 2019 is a year of the miraculous for me. I experience God's glory, God's goodness, God's supplies in so many ways, in so many areas. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 In Acts chapter 9, verse 40, we're going to pray for Sunday service. In Acts chapter 9, verse 40, the Bible speaks about the story of Peter praying for Dorcas after she was dead. They called for him to pray. I want you to notice that though this woman was dead, all we have, the information we have in that verse 40, is that Peter knelt down and prayed. Did you notice he didn't tell us how long he prayed? He could have prayed for 4 hours. He could have been 5 hours. But after he prayed, he turned to the woman and said, he didn't touch her, he just prayed. We need to understand there's a connection between what Peter prayed and the command he gave. What Peter prayed and the command he gave. What was the prayer for? He made the power available. What was the command for? He applied the power that had been made available. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray concerning Sunday service. Somebody says, can we have more? Did we have instant healings on Sunday? Yes. Can we have more? Yes. It depends on us. Why? The power that we're given has no limits. How much of it is an expression, is a function of we praying it out. So we saw many instant healings on Sunday before everybody. Can we see more? Yes. What do? We simply pray it out. That means it's not even God that's responsible, it is us. We're the ones who say, this is how much we want to see. Hallelujah. And because we know lives are at stake and God doesn't want anybody to carry sickness and disease, then we ought to pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus, the supply of God's Spirit on Sunday will be so mighty. Every sickness will be healed. Every disease will be taken care of. Every affliction will cease. And men will be set free and delivered. Let's pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And conserva cochte, and si subruca tambay, and a cugasu bracato calagriste, lenzusa, bruce braco casibrocotaki, e caca calagrosa kile griste. Let's just thank you, Father. 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 We see men free. We see yokes destroyed. We see the power of the wicked broken. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:19. That's the last thing we're going to pray about. And Mrs. Babala, please come. And I want us to pray, and we're going to stretch our hands towards her. Okay, the Bible says in Philippians 1:19, it says, I know this shall turn to my salvation. And when Paul was talking about that, he was talking about deliverance from prison. He was in prison. So Paul the apostle counted not on his prayer, but prayer of the church. And in that place, he showed us a principle that the prayer of the church, just like they did in the book of Acts, that they ensured that Peter was released from the machinations of men, Paul also asked them to pray so that the counsel of men against him will be overturned. And it worked. He said, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the church measured out power when they were praying for Paul. And that power turned things around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want us to just, I want her to face me. Just face me. Just, you just stretch for just water. And just release power. Consciously release power. Father, we are thankful for your mighty works. We give you praise. We give you glory. We exalt you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.